Good morning. I want to welcome y'all to our services today. We're doing things a little different this morning. We've got a baptismal service right after the first couple of songs. I want y'all to join in and sing with me. I do want the children to go back to children's church at this time if there's any needs to go there. If y'all join in while we stand singing, I Saw the Light.
Nicholson, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your public profession of faith in Him, I baptize thee, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Chris?
Well, that was a quick sit. Y'all stand, please, again. We'll continue singing. Me and Dad obviously hadn't worked through all that. So y'all join in with us as we sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Lord, I
lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. So glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Sing that a cappella one time.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy.
Let me say good morning to the church family on live streaming, as well as you that are looking at me. I learned something standing back there. One of the things I learned is these musicians know how to shut him down. They just all left. I like the way they handle that. A couple of announcements that I want to make. There'll be a wedding shower June the 28th from 2 to 4. Mr. and Mrs. Allen Caldwell, registered at Belk and Bed Bath and Beyond. And then a very important church council meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. At this time, we're going to have an Awana Awards presentation, and I know they're ready. Wow, that's tremendous. Anytime that anybody hides the Word of God into their heart, that's tremendous, regardless of the age. And that's a challenge for you and I that are much older. I'm much older. But it's a challenge for all of us to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Chris, come and lead us a cappella in God Is So Good as we stand at this time.
Is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so
you to turn around and look at your neighbor and tell them good morning. Except you folks on the back row, y'all don't turn around. One more
course. Oh, Daddy wants to do it one more time.
One more. And I want you to sing like you mean it. Bye. We ain't in a funeral home.
It's Father's Day and my pastor, I got to listen to
him. Yeah, you better.
Here we go.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Would you be seated? We'll ask our fathers to stand at this time. We certainly don't want to skip that. All of our fathers need to stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that today we're able to gather in your house. And today we're able to gather in your house to worship you. And Lord, I thank you on this day that we can gather in your house and worship by means of live streaming and worship by means of actually bodily being in a physical service. And Father, today we lift up each dad and each granddad and each great-granddad that's standing right now in this audience. And Lord, how important they are to this church and how important they are to their children, and help them to be the dads and the granddads and the great-granddads that they need to be. Help them to set the example that they need to set. And God, we just thank you that you love us, and we praise you that you're so good to us. And Lord, we just pray now that you'd just speak to our hearts as we go into this time of the Sunday morning message. God, speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray if there's one in this audience that does not know you, that today they'll come to know you by faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated for the final time. I want you to turn to the book of Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. Some scripture that I've been looking at and studying for this entire week. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Notice that verse. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Saul, the arch persecutor of the Lord. Saul, the persecutor of the Lord. If you trusted Jesus, he wanted you because he wanted to kid you. In the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 9 through 11, Paul himself gave this testimony of his life as an old man outside of Christ. Listen to what he said. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. This morning, I want us to think about three things in relationship to Saul. First of all, I want us to notice the condition of his heart. The condition of his heart. Saul was consumed with fierce anger. He was consumed with wrath. He was consumed with hatred. He breathed out threatenings and slaughter against Christians. Think about that word breathed out for a minute. Breathed out in the Greek means inhaling or breathing in. The picture to grasp Saul taking into his heart the evil of destroying the followers of Jesus Christ. The picture to grasp, think about that, is Saul taking into his heart the evil of destroying the followers of Jesus Christ. You see, what's in the heart is what comes out of the heart. Amen? What's in the heart? If I fill my heart with the Word of God, then the Word of God is going to come out of my heart. It's going to come out of my mouth. But you know what? As I look at the world that you and I live in, I see fierce anger, and I see bitterness, and I see hatred, and I see things that are not going to solve one problem in our country right now. My friend, what's in the heart is what will come out. And that's exactly what Saul of Tarsus could be described as, an evil man who breathed out that of killing Christians. And then I want you to see in verse 3 the unexpected change in Saul's life. And as he journeyed near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, there was a light from heaven. It was supernatural. It was miraculous. It was from God, the source and the giver of all light. Notice in verse 4 and 5, and I want to read those verses again. Verse 4, what happened when this light shone out of heaven unexpectedly? I'm going to tell you what happened. Verse 5 says, verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You see, the Lord has confronted Saul. You know what? Out of the crowd that was there that day walking down the Damascus Road, the Lord confronted Saul. No one else heard a voice. No one else knew what was going on. That's exactly how God works. Think about it. You're sitting in a service, and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart of the fact that you are lost or you need to do something for Christ. Nobody else in the church heard it, but you heard it. That's how the Holy Spirit works. You see, God's message to Saul was a personal message. Aren't you glad that God's message to you is a personal message? Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You know what Saul said? "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Saul, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul was probably the most brilliant man of that day. But he did not know the Lord. It could be men that are listening to me right now by live stream or right here in this service. It could be men listening to me that are successful, that are very educated, that are very respected, but do not know the Lord. Saul was a brilliant man, but did not know the Lord. How sad it is when good men go through life and yet miss the most important part of life, to know Jesus as their Savior. How sad that is. Dad, do you know Jesus Christ? You see, to know Jesus is life, and Saul didn't know him. Verse 5 says, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." These pricks had been sticking into the conscience of Saul. I believe the face of Stephen and his sweet spirit, Saul couldn't get past as he killed him. The Christians that he had persecuted and lied about and put to death, I don't believe he could get past. Somewhere he must have asked this question: are Christians real? Are Christians real? Is your Christianity real? I believe that's what was asked. Are Christians real? Is their God really real? Is your God really real? I want you to note something in verse 6. Saul surrenders, and he asks this question. He surrenders to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, what would you have me do?" You ever prayed that? "Lord, what would you have me do?" You see, no longer is this arrogant Pharisee running down the road trying to kill another Christian. No longer is he on mission to Damascus. But now we see him as a poor, humble sinner asking, "Lord, what would you have me do?" One day Jesus said this: "Except you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now we see Saul coming into the presence of Jesus in this matter. All of Saul's tears and all of his grief and all of his zeal could never save him. That day on the Damascus Road, Saul gave himself away to Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you done that, Dad? Have you given yourself away to Jesus Christ? And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told of thee what thou must do." Beloved, when a man gets saved, he wants to know what he can do to serve Jesus. I want to repeat that. When a man gets saved, he wants to know what he can do to serve Jesus. He wants to bear fruit for the Master. Matthew 7 and 20 says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Dad, are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit that honors Jesus? Are you bearing fruit that exemplifies that you are a believer in Christ? And then we look at the 7th through the 9th verse, the obedience of Saul. Yes, there were men with Saul who were witnesses to the event in Paul and Saul's life. Even though they didn't hear a word being said, they saw a changed man. Scripture says that they stood speechless, having a voice, but seeing no man. You keep reading those verses, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. I was reading in a commentary this week written by the old Dr. Oliver B. Green. Acts 22 and 11, the apostle plainly testified that he could not see for the glory of that light. The intense witness of the light from the face of Jesus so affected the optic nerves in Saul's eyes as he experienced that of temporary blindness, physical blindness. Verse 8 says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. You know, you can have your eyes wide open. If you're blind, you can't see anything. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. Think about the man Saul, the arch persecutor of Christians, on his way, consumed with anger to kill Christians. And then there was that unexpected light that came in from heaven and changed, brought a change in Saul's life. He has an unnamed meeting with the Lord. He surrenders to the Lord and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Then we find Saul, as the men brought him to Damascus. He was there 3 days and 3 nights without food and without drink, waiting for further instructions. Get this one. Waiting for further instructions to serve the Lord. What a chosen vessel that he was. Dad, listen to me. Saul was a lost man who was saved by the Lord's grace. Dad, are you saved? Are you saved? If so, have you said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Are you doing whatever it is that God has said and told you to do? Are you doing that? Are you the dad he wants you to be? Are you the spiritual leader in your home that he wants you to be? Dad? Are you, Heavenly Father? You know every dad in this building. You know whether they're right with you or whether they're far from you. You know those that are saved. You know those that are lost. And Heavenly Father, it's my prayer today, if there's one in this building that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would simply say yes to your call in their life. If there's a dad in this building that's already done that and you've laid on their heart a ministry to go and do, God help them be busy doing that ministry. While heads are bowed, there could be dads in this audience that do not know Christ. You do not know him. We have our